Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Main Menu this week. I have Eric Damry with me from Freedom Scientific, and this week we're here to talk all about the new JAWS for Windows version 8.0. Welcome to Main Menu, Eric.
Thanks, Jeff. It's great to be here, and I'm really excited about the opportunity to start to unveil JAWS 8 a bit. We've been pretty secretive about it.
A couple of weeks ago, we had Jonathan Mosen on Main Menu, where he talked to us all about his move to Freedom Scientific from Humanware. Eric, could you tell us what you feel Jonathan Mosen might be able to offer for Freedom Scientific in the area of JAWS for Windows?
Well, you know, Jonathan and I have known each other for many years. We have been competitors. He's been on that side of the microphone interviewing me prior to that for many years, and I've always had just an unbelievable amount of respect for Jonathan, both as a user, as a competitor, and as a friend. He's just a great guy, and we've always found time to talk and communicate, even when we worked for competing companies. And now to have Jonathan on this team, to me, it's just fantastic. And I can't tell you how excited our test department, support, and sales teams are, knowing that Jonathan is on board, and he is going to be, I think, a tremendous asset to the hardware and the software side of this business because of his skills and knowledge. He's going to be arriving here in St. Petersburg, I think next week or so he comes in. In the next week, they're about to spend a whole week working with the team before we all head off. There's several of us, including Jonathan, heading to our international dealer meeting in Europe for the end of the month. But I'm really looking forward to it, and I know everyone else that works here is looking forward to sitting down and spending some quality time with Jonathan.
What were some of the goals of this release from a Freedom Scientific standpoint?
Well, we want to always, each year, try to deliver a solution to our customers that can touch the entire range of customers. We have fairly powerful users, very sophisticated computer users. We have middle-of-the-road users, and we have beginners. So we try to impact every one of our users with our SMA shipments each year. And I think with 8, we've really done that. I think we've reached that goal, and I think we're at the same time always trying to keep up with what technology out there is changing that our customers are going to be presented with, and not always by their own choice. And I think, you know, IE7 is the most obvious one. I think everyone is ready for IE7 by the time they're hearing this broadcast. They'll be hearing more and more about it, I'm sure, and we are going to be seeing it before we realize it.
Yeah. Now, is this going to be an SMA release?
Yes, 8.0 is an SMA posting, so anyone who had 7, version 7 installed that does not have an SMA included would be forced to buy this as an upgrade unless they go out and add the SMA prior to us releasing. So anyone who is not sure, I encourage them. They can look at their about box in their current JAWS serial number, and if it says 7.0 with an SMA of 1 or an SMA of 2, they're all set. If it says 7.0 without an SMA, I would encourage them to go to the fsactivate.com website and follow the links put in their serial number and check to see. It could be that they have an SMA and that it's just not reflected in their about box yet.
Okay.
But check that out. It will be an SMA shipment, and then after it's out the door, we'll be continuing to do updates throughout the next year as we have in the past.
Okay. And if my SMA expires with 8.0, then what are my options going forward?
So once you've received your 8.0 shipment, if your SMA just expired, you'll be receiving a letter. Within a week or so of the SMA shipment arriving, you'll get this letter informing you that the SMA has expired and giving you an opportunity to renew that SMA at the original price. So the price that you pay when you buy JAWS at the same time, if you buy an SMA, you get it at a reduced rate. And depending on what country you're in, You'll have to check with your distributor to see what the pricing is. If you do not renew your SMA within the window, and it's generally a couple of months you have, there'll be a date on the letter. If you don't renew within that window, I think the price goes up in the U.S. by about $60 to renew the SMA after the fact. So we like to see if we can get people to renew right away. And the SMA program has proven to be very successful, I think, for us and our customers in keeping them current, keeping them up to date. And, you know, I think the SMA is right for the majority of people, but there are some people out there who maybe they're not staying current on the Internet, maybe they're not buying new computers in the future, and they're not updating and using the new applications that come available. If that is the case, maybe the SMA isn't the right application, but buying upgrades in the future is always going to be more expensive unless you've stayed in the program.
Right, right. Okay, so now what about the website at freedomscientific.com? When do you expect to see a what's new posted, and will there be a new DAISY set of files released for the what's new, as well as an MP3 file?
Yes, we'll be getting everything up there very soon. What I try to accomplish is somewhere a week or 2 weeks prior to the release is to get information out there about the product in writing. We'll post something in writing that lists not only the new features and explains them, but also lists the long list of fixes that we've done. We're always trying to fix pre-existing problems with every release, and I think this time we've done another fantastic job with going through and finding and addressing issues that our customers have been reporting. So you'll be wanting to see what that list entails. And then we've also sat down and already done a recording of what's new, where I've actually demonstrated and talked about the features with Dan Clark, and had a great opportunity to invite and have Jonathan Mosen participate in the What's New recording. This is the first time we had Jonathan on it. I think he was excited about it too. So we got him into the recording studio through Skype, and he's made some contributions. And we invited one of our developers, Joe Stephen, that many customers out there who've been around a while know Joe, and he was on the What's New 4 years ago, and we brought him back, and he's talked about a couple of the new features, and Joe is intimately involved in the development, so it's always nice to get his insight. And that recording will get posted as a DAISY book on the CD when it ships, but we'll also post it as an MP3 right on the website. So people will be able to download that. It'll be about an hour to an hour and 30 minutes long, somewhere in that range when it's all edited up. And you'll be able to listen to that prior to the release and kind of give you a good flair for the features and how to jump right in and use them when you get the product and install it. And then in addition to that, we have updated our DAISY books that we ship on JAWS. So the training material, the basic training material, has been updated, and many of the DAISY books have been updated to address some of the new features, and we've added some new DAISY books for some of the features that hadn't been in the product before. So we didn't have anything in there for the JAWS Find feature before. There's a new DAISY book in there for the JAWS Find to show you some of the new stuff. Skim reading has been a great feature in the product for a while, but we've updated the skim reading utility, and we've updated the DAISY book. So when you receive your SMA shipment, you take the program CD, do the installation, and at the end, go back and install the training material. It'll just overwrite the old stuff with the new stuff, and you'll have all the current things right in there.
Great. Now, many users are already asking on lists that I monitor, actually, and they want to know, will there be a public beta for JAWS for Windows version 8?
So JAWS for Windows 7.1, we were able to get a public beta out, and that program went well, and we got a lot of great feedback and addressed a lot of things. With JAWS 8, because 8 is actually going to be a shipment on CD, and because of one of the key things in this release, being that we're including an entire SAPI synthesizer from RealSpeak, we really can't post this as a product. We have to ship it on CD because of the synthesizer. It's an unprotected SAPI synthesizer, about 700 megabytes. So in order for people to really take advantage and start to use 8 and the features in it, we need to get a shipment to you. So we will forego the public beta process on this posting, but we will not forego public betas for the future. It's a matter of being able to get that CD sent out, and we can't justify doing a dual mailing. There's tens of thousands of serial numbers, of course, that are receiving these things, and doing these shipments is very expensive, and we didn't budget for 2 in the price of the SMA. So this time we'll send it out to everybody, and of course, with the great new automatic update feature we have since JAWS 7.1, I expect that we'll be posting updates for 8 probably every 6 weeks or so. That would be my goal. We're constantly tweaking and making adjustments and fixes, and this year, instead of having to post whole new builds that go into a separate directory, we can put out small updates for people to be able to just get right through the help menu.
Well, that's really neat. I know that in the past, the updates were the complete, you know, executable.
Right, and that'll be much smaller now. And when we do the shipment this year for the 8.0 release, in the past, I've often staggered it. This year, I will not. When we post the product to the web, and you will be able to download the software, just not the synthesizer, as soon as we post, within a matter of 2 to 3 days, I believe the CDs will be in everyone's package, and everyone's package will get mailed on the exact same day. So we've got the production departments at the company we work with all gearing up right now and getting this thing prepared, and I'm looking forward to having everybody's product arrive on the same day this year.
Wow, that's got to be a feat. that's got to be thousands and thousands of CDs shipping. Yeah.
But if we don't do it that way, of course, one person will have their brand new program and their new synthesizer and trying it out, and someone else will want it
right.
And be calling our office. So it's to our advantage to try and have everybody get it at the same time.
Absolutely. Now, will this release support legacy operating systems such as Windows 95, 98, or Millennium?
Well, with actually beginning with JAWS 7.1, we dropped support completely for 98, for 95, and for NT4. And with the release of 8, we will be dropping support for 98 and Millennium. So you'll have to have either Windows 2000, XP Home or Pro, or the XP Media Center Edition in order to install 8. It's becoming, you know, just too complex to try and develop this technology and the features and functionality in this technology to take advantage of the things that are on the new operating systems, yet still make sure that those things work in the older operating systems. So it's just time. It's time to really drop those other operating systems back. Now, we'll always keep earlier versions on our website. If you go to the JAWS headquarters and go to downloads, you'll be able to download and install prior versions. We actually still keep JAWS 2 up there. Somebody were actually still running Windows 3.11. Was it 3.11 or was it 3.31? I can't remember how.
Yeah,
it was 3.11
actually.
3.11.
Yeah.
We actually still have a version up there, and if somebody still had an old computer, they could install. But we don't get many calls for that today.
Wow, can you imagine getting a support call on that?
Well, we won't support it.
Yeah.
But we leave the software posted. We do not ship it on CD. We will not be shipping the earlier versions of JAWS on CD once we release the new version either, but it will be available for download, so if somebody does have to get it, they'll be able to. And you know, as we sell new products going forward here, once we start selling 8, if somebody has both an XP and a 98 machine, when they receive their JAWS for Windows 8, their authorization will still work for both machines, but the JAWS 8 CD will only install on their XP machine, and they'll be instructed to then download 7.1 and install it on their 98 box.
Okay. What about Windows 2003? Is that something that is currently supported?
Yeah, Windows 2003 server is supported as well, and you can install on that.
Okay, good. Now, before we get into the main new features, and there's quite a number of them in version 8, I thought we'd talk briefly about the future of where JAWS is headed with the new things coming out from Microsoft. They seem to be coming out with quite a bit of things these days, that being Windows Vista and Office 2007. I thought you might want to address what is going to be happening with those things.
Well, you know, it is JAWS for Windows, and it is Windows and the applications that run on Windows that drive the development effort on our products for our consumers. And Vista's been under development now for many, many years, and we have been working directly with the Microsoft Access Technology Group in Redmond, along with many of the other departments there, as have the other vendors that create technology in the space, and it's been a challenge. Vista is a significant change in how our technology needs to function on the operating system in order to interact with not only new products that are developed for Vista, but with older products that are out there. There are many people who have jobs today using Windows 2000 or XP and running proprietary applications on those operating systems. And down the road, they'll be upgrading their operating system, but they'll still be running some of those older proprietary apps that we've been able to interact with today. And our goal here for the future is to make sure that not only can you install it on Vista and use it on Vista with the Vista features and functionalities, but those older applications that have to run on Vista that you still use to, you know, get your job done, you'll still be able to tap into and use those just as you did in the XP world. So Vista is inevitable. It's coming. It's the new operating system. And I remember when we made the transitions from the 3.11 over to 95, the panic out there as we made that move. And once we did, it really wasn't bad. It was a change in how some of the things worked. The keystrokes were different and a little bit of the behavior changed, but we got used to it. We migrated from File Manager to Windows Explorer, and you know, change is inevitable, and the screen reader technology today will keep up with it. Now, we have to watch what Microsoft does as far as dates go. We know that Vista was intended to be out long ago, and it still hasn't made it yet. It doesn't look like it will be out before the end of the year. I'm not sure exactly when that will hit, whether it's January or even into the second quarter. I'm not sure at this point. I don't think I've seen a final date. But our plan is to have a solution ready the day that they release, that if we have a customer out there that is going to be running on a Vista machine the day it releases, we'll have a solution for them, and we'll be communicating details about that as we get closer to that date. Once we get 8 out the door, we'll start doing some vigorous testing outside the company with Microsoft and with some of our key customers to make sure that everyone is satisfied and we're ready. But, you know, we've been showing Vista. We showed it at CSUN this past year. We showed it at Site City in Germany. And we'll be setting up and showing our international dealers the end of this month in Switzerland. So we'll be ready to go, and I think our customers can look forward to a nice, smooth transition over to Vista. As for Office 2007, so this is the next version of the Microsoft suite, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Access, and Outlook. This has got quite a few changes in it as well. They've gone over to a new menuing type system, and a lot of the keystrokes that we've been familiar with when we went from Outlook or from Office 97 to Office 2000 to Office XP, you could do a lot of the same keystrokes, like, for instance, to get into the Options menu, it was always Alt-T-O. And with the new menuing system, there are some new keystrokes to learn. But JAWS 8 is ready for that. People that get early pre-releases, you will be able to get JAWS installed and running quite well if you're using Office 2000 Word, Excel, or Outlook. We have a ways to go yet on the PowerPoint and Access issues, and we'll be continuing work on those and have updates as we move forward. It's my understanding that Office 2007 will release simultaneously with Vista. from what I've heard. And if they do release it a little early, we'll do what we have to make sure that we can address the needs of our customers. But for the most part, JAWS 8 will install and work with Office 2007. It will not, however, install on a Vista box and interact with Vista yet. So we'll be coming up with a solution, and people will have to keep posted and watch for that.
Now I'd like to talk with you about some of the new features of JAWS for Windows version 8.0. And the most notable feature is the new solo voices. Can you talk to us about what this is all about?
Sure. Freedom Scientific has had a long relationship with the synthesizer called Eloquence, which got its start with a company called Eloquent Technologies. And we've had a relationship with them over the years, and I think Eloquence has really become the synthesizer, kind of like what DeckTalk was for products in the past, Eloquence is today. And Eloquence is owned by the company Nuance now. Nuance also does things like Dragon, Naturally Speaking, the Tox, Symbian cell phones, and they do OCR engines and things like this. Well, TTS engines are a big part of their business, and they own Eloquence, and they also have a product called RealSpeak. And RealSpeak Solo is the new Sappy 5 voices that are out there that are, I think, really exciting. There's a wide range, first of all, and one of the reasons we have stuck with Nuance and gone with the RealSpeak Solo choice is because they offer us such a variety for all of the different countries that we handle right now with JAWS for Windows. And while Eloquence hits many of them, RealSpeak Solo expands that to even more, including things like Greek and Chinese and Japanese and some Scandinavian languages and so forth. So it's really opened up our opportunities to provide a good quality synthesizer for those other countries. But at the same time, Nuance has a great working relationship with us, and I think they're going to be very responsive in the future as we start to introduce Sappy quality synthesizers to our user base, and we begin to evolve these and take better advantage of the bigger engines. As computers get faster, we'll be able to make the responsiveness much better, and people may eventually stop using Eloquence and move over to these completely. But for right now, we're including both, and we'll talk a little more about how that those two can go together and really be a plus for people.
So what voices are included on the CD? Because you've mentioned already that this will be a shipped product since it's quite large.
Yeah, when you receive your SMA shipment, you'll have a bifold, and on the left side of the bifold, you'll find the RealSpeak CD, and on the right side is your JAWS program CD, and they're independent of each other. You can install the JAWS program CD without installing the RealSpeak. After you've installed JAWS, install the RealSpeak. It's got its own installer, and there's a couple of choices during the installation. You can do typical, which will put all the voices that are on the CD on your computer, or you can do a custom where you can selectively pick the voices that you want to install. Now, in the main CD that we're shipping out to the English-speaking countries, you'll be receiving, I think it's 3 American English voices, 2 British, 2 Australian, and then a Castilian Spanish and a Latin American Spanish. We do have other CDs with other languages on them. However, they'll be going out primarily through our distributors in those countries. So you'll, if you, let's say, live in Italy, when the Italian version of 8 comes out and you receive it, you'll be receiving the RealSpeak CD that contains the language that would be specific for that region. So you'd get the Italian and the French, probably, and maybe German, Spanish, and you'd also get some English on that CD. So for the most part, the English-speaking community will get those languages I mentioned. Other countries will get additional synthesizers when we ship those products.
Okay. And what is the footprint of each of the voices? Do you have any idea on that?
They range anywhere from about 30 meg to maybe 100 meg, depending on the voice. The CD that we're shipping with the English-speaking and the 2 Spanish, I think, takes up the whole CD. It's about 700 meg.
Okay.
And on today's technology, you know, on today's PCs, if you've bought a computer in the past couple of years, it's that kind of space is not really unreasonable.
In conjunction with the new voices, there's some very exciting new features that correlate with them, and one of these has to do with Say All. And could you tell us all about what this new functionality is?
Sure. Yeah, so as we talked to customers in the past and they had asked for more natural-sounding voices, the problem has always been responsiveness. And for someone who doesn't use a computer today and they install a screen reader, responsiveness may not be the top on their list. But for those of us who have been using this technology for a while, we know that when we press a down arrow in a menu, we want to know what we landed on instantly. And if we're in text and we're trying to arrow across that text, we want to hear the letter or the word that we've landed on instantaneously. It makes us more efficient and we can get done what we're trying to accomplish. And with the natural sounding voices, that is not as easily done as it is with something like Eloquence. So what we would like, though, is to be able to use these nice sounding voices to read a document. So maybe for navigational purposes, it'd be great to use Eloquence. But when I get to a certain point, I just wanted to read, use a more natural sounding voice, and just start reading it. And so that's the feature we've added in, is to give you the opportunity to have Sappy 5 as your choice for the say-all, while when you're not in a say-all and you're navigating, you're in Eloquence. And you don't have to do anything special to switch. It just automatically does the switch for you. And that really is the feature we've built in. Now, you know, I should also mention this RealSpeak Sappy 5 Solo. This is not tied specifically to JAWS the way Eloquence is. This is an unprotected Sappy synthesizer. There isn't any key you have to type in. It's part of your JAWS license. As long as JAWS is installed on the machine and you install the Sappy 5 synthesizer, you can use this Sappy 5 synthesizer with some other technology that uses Sappy 5 on your computer. But it really, I think you'll find, it becomes your say-all choice whenever you're using JAWS. I think a lot of people will just find this to be great. When you get to a web page and you get to where you want to go and read, start the say-all and it kicks in and you take the, you know, you pick the voice you want, and you get some really nice sound and quality out of it.
Now, in version 7.1 of JAWS, when you actually, you know, you can use Sappy 5 voices in JAWS 7.1 now. One of the things that users probably notice is that there's quite a delay between the time that Eloquence is removed and that the Sappy 5 engine is loaded and starts to speak. And I was just wondering, is this something that has been addressed in JAWS 8.0?
Yes, and that was all part of this feature to really be successful is you've got to have instant switching.
Right.
So if you start a say-all and a Sappy 5 kicks right in, as soon as you hit the control key, the last word that you spoke, the cursor is placed there, and you'll actually hear it spoken with Eloquence. You're right back in Eloquence.
Okay.
And when you start to say all again, you're right back in the Sappy 5. What I found as I watched as people were using this or not using it, what I learned was there are some things that they just need to be able to read through fast, and it was too much hassle to be switching back and forth. So we've added in what I refer to as alternate say-all. Alternate say-all means do the say-all command, just add the alt key to it, and whichever voice you have set up to be your main, your primary say-all voice, if it's Eloquence or if you've turned on this feature to use Sappy 5, the alternate say-all will use the opposite. So I can have a nice fast speech rate going for Eloquence and a nice slow reading speech rate for Sappy 5. And I can choose, depending on which keystroke I press, to use that synthesizer. So I get the best of both worlds. It's really slick.
Next, one of the new key features in JAWS for Windows version 8.0 is support for Internet Explorer version 7.0. And Eric, can you talk to us about what the new features for JAWS for Windows is in reference to that?
So 7.0 is the version of Internet Explorer that's coming out. I think our customers are really going to like it. I think it offers some better navigation with keystrokes, and it offers some functionality that makes it a lot easier. When you launch Internet Explorer, you can instantly have several pages that you use on a regular basis all preloaded. And then just with a simple keystroke, you switch right to them without having to go to a menu in the favorites and choose the item. You can automatically have them load it right up. And this is that new tab feature. And, you know, we first got a taste of this with Firefox, and we all liked it. Firefox is a great browser that introduced some of these new techniques that IE7 is really kind of mimicking. And I think we're all going to get it. I think IE7 by the end of this year, we'll all be using it. And it's, you know, our support, I guess I should say, you know, my support team asked me that. Today we did our training. I did the training with the tech support group, and they said, you know, of all these keystrokes that you've mentioned in the write-up that I've shared with them already, they said, how many of these keystrokes are JAWS keystrokes? And I had to think for a minute, and I went through the list, and I said, no, none of them are. They're all Internet Explorer keystrokes, and the idea here is not for JAWS to be fancy, that you have to learn anything special. You just learn how to use Internet Explorer 7, and there are some changes, and if you do an Internet Explorer keystroke, JAWS gives you the right information. You'll instantly hear and get in Braille what you would expect to be gathering for information. So most of our support is just making sure that the right thing gets spoken at the right time, and that all the features and functionalities like custom labels and place markers and links list and quick navigation keys, all of those things should be functioning as expected, and that's what users are going to find.
That's great. Now, I know Microsoft is releasing, actually they already have released a document which lists all of the new keyboard commands in Internet Explorer version 7. And if you look at that list, there are a number of them which conflicted with some of the keystrokes in earlier versions of JAWS for Windows. And I was just curious, is this something that has been addressed in version 8?
Yeah, we went through and actually, I'm not sure how many there really were. I know the one that I can that I do recall was the Control J. If you were inside of a table on a web page, we had a feature that allows you to jump to a particular cell, and Control J does something in Internet Explorer, just as it did in Firefox, if I recall. And for Firefox, we had initially moved it to Windows Key J, and I decided to avoid that because I know that Windows Key J is ultimately going to end up doing something in Windows. So I believe the switch was made over to Control Windows J.
Okay.
So just watch the list. But yeah, no, if there is something, if for some reason we had a key conflict with some native keystroke in an application, we do everything we can to adjust for that.
Okay.
And, I think we've caught anything that was a problem.
Okay, good. Now, many users will probably want to know, has any support been improved for Firefox?
We have continued to make improvements along the way. Really, as we have been developing and working on IE7, there are many things that, as we fix them for IE7, fix things that are commonly affected in Firefox. So, as a result, Firefox has had fixes, and when you see the write-up, you'll see a list of fixes that we've managed to accomplish. We have not been able to do as much as I would really like to do in Firefox, and that's primarily because IE7, we knew it was going to be hitting the streets, and we knew that the majority of our customers that are on IE6 now will be migrating into IE7 as it gets installed as a security update. So we had to put most of our emphasis on IE7 this time, and had to, we're not able to get to everything in Firefox we would like to, but we will continue to work on Firefox as we go forward, and I'm sure that updates in the 8.0 release of JAWS will continue to see fixes coming for Firefox. But as a whole, Firefox works really well with JAWS right out of the box right now. So I think for the most part, customers are finding it to be very, very useful. And everything that they had already known about IE, navigation, quick keys, and the label, custom labels, place markers, all of those things are functioning as you would expect in Firefox. So users can transition between the two very easily.
the web is really changing quite a bit, especially with Web 2.0. And one of the things that we're starting to see on websites is a lot of dynamic HTML and a lot of automatically updatable content. And I was wondering if this is something that you might have addressed in JAWS for Windows version 8.0.
Yeah, we started with JAWS for Windows 7.1, introducing our new document server approach to be able to, you know, load up things like web pages and PDF documents and ultimately Word and Excel, and loading these things up on a document server that we can get information much quicker from in the future, and it'll be much more accurate. And one of the things that came in 7.1 was the ability to read things. And the example that was given to me right after we released 7 was ticker tape. And for customers that are listening out there that have 7.1 and want to try this out and see how it works, or if you have 8, if you're listening to this later on and you get it with 8, you can try this. If you go to www.bbc.co.uk, and maybe this will be one of the things you can demonstrate coming up here, Jeff. Well, what happens on this page is that there is a ticker tape. I know I used to get to it by going down to hit the letter L for list a couple of times, and once I move past the languages, I hit this ticker tape in the middle of the page, and hopefully it's still there if you try it. And you can watch this ticker tape being updated. If you continue to do a say line on the ticker tape, you'll see that whatever the new story that just got written across it is will be read to you. So the buffer is constantly getting this updated information. It's really cool if you have a Braille display. You can sit and watch it on your Braille display being written. Well, what was happening is the information in the virtual buffer below that on the page would get moved around or feel like it was being moved around depending on how much stuff was in the ticker tape at the moment that you down arrowed and looked. So it was always on the move. And in 8.0, that's no longer an issue. So you can watch the ticker tape updating constantly, but the rest of the page remains intact just as it was, and you can easily navigate around. So this is, I think, a great breakthrough. It's, we're seeing more and more things like this on the web, and the ability of JAWS 7.1 to begin to deal with it and 8.0 to really handle it is fantastic.
Now, is this something that also you'll see in Firefox, or is it just native to Internet Explorer?
I think this is true in Firefox as well, but I can't be absolutely sure. That may be something to try.
Now, for those who are developing web applications, will there be any documentation, maybe in FSDN or something like that, that might be able to document what things are supported in reference to dynamically updating that virtual buffer?
That's a good question. I don't have the answer. I think that FSDN, this the Freedom Scientific documentation we put out there through the documentation in the JAWS headquarters, is going to be the place to get such information. I just can't give you an exact detail as to what and when will show up.
Oh, that's fine.
Would be the place to go.
Yeah, I was just curious because it might be interesting for web developers to know, you know, how to interface to this new, to this model. What kind of things are exactly you looking for, you know, to be able to do that. That's quite great. Okay. One of the features that is not as much used, or at least not talked about quite a bit, you know, on mailing lists and even, you know, when you actually meet with people and talk about JAWS, is the skim reading feature. And I was just wondering if this is an area that has also been improved.
Yes, skim reading has, I guess it first came in, I'm trying to think if it started in 7 or if it started in 6.2, I can't even remember now. But we have improved it, and let me try and define this a little bit for people. And first of all, there's a DAISY book on this one. If you install from the CD, after you install and go to the help menu and go to training, you'll find a book called Extra Skim Reading, and it'll describe it and kind of give you an example of how to get started with it. So there's some information out there about it. But skim reading probably should have been called the Advanced Find feature, because that's really what it is. It lets users define rules which they will then use to search for information. So you might set up a text rule that says go and find anything that contains a particular phrase that you're researching on the internet. And when you land on a web page that you found through a Google search, you can then pull up the skim reading tool and say, go find every sentence on this page that contains this phrase. Take every one of those sentences, put them in the virtual buffer for me, and make them a link so I can read through them. And if I find one that I'm interested in, if one of the sentences sounds like the area that I want to be in, I press enter and I'll be right on that page in that section. And if that turns out to be not what I was looking for, there's a keystroke. I can jump right back into the buffer and continue to look through the links from the point where I had left. So it's a great little feature. Now, in the 8.0 release, we've added the ability now to set up rules to search for attributes or font color. And there are many jobs out there, I think, that this can become a great solution for searching your application screens and finding different pieces of information based on an attribute or based on a color and creating a virtual buffer with that information to quickly move through it. So very flexible. You can have as many rules as you want. Very simple to use for those running JAWS now. If you hold down the insert with the control shift and then down arrow, it pops you right in the skim read dialog. You can go right through it and check it out. So good feature, and the addition of attributes and colors give us that much more power.
As I was playing with JAWS for Windows version 8 in the last day or so, I noticed a number of usability changes in this release. And the first thing that I noticed upon doing the installation was this new thing called the Startup Wizard. Can you tell us what this is, Eric?
Yeah, this is the Startup Wizard is something that we've needed a long, long time. I think that the initial cut of the Startup Wizard doesn't do a whole lot, as you found out, but you will see improvements in growth in this as we go forward with updates and new versions in the future. The idea with the Startup Wizard is that once you've installed JAWS for Windows on a computer, we'd like to give you an opportunity to go through and set up certain things which we feel you'll probably want to set up. Instead of you having to go and explore the menu system and all of the utilities that come in an application like a screen reader, give me the basic things that I might want to change and let me set them up. Now, on this first release of 8.0, the Startup Wizard can do two things if you've installed from a CD, and one thing if you've installed from the download. The only one thing from the download that you get is the ability to set JAWS to run automatically. Now, in the past, there's always been a window that came up with a yes-no on it to ask you about it. It really wasn't a wizard. It was just an application window that could lose focus. And we really need to have one place where we can be asking many things, and that's the idea behind the wizard. So, in addition to asking you if you want to start JAWS automatically running it as a service, if you've installed from the CD, it'll ask you if you want to install the training material. If you choose yes, it'll ask you to put the CD in if it wasn't there, and it will go ahead and install it. We will also be adding in there in the future questions like, what would you like your default speech rate to be at? You want to speed it up, slow it down. There's a slider right there, and you can just adjust it on the fly without having to go to the Global Voices dialog box or go in and set individual voices. We'll just give you one chance right off the bat to set your speech rate the way you want it. You can always go and change it later, but this is one of the things we all change. You may want to know about tutor messages or access keys. Would you like them on or off? Would you like to use a keyboard layout for a laptop or a desktop? There can be many, many things that will be put in there, and this will grow, but we will keep it simple to use and easy to navigate through and make sure all the prompts make a lot of sense. Now, the other nice thing about this wizard is that at any time, you'll be able to launch the wizard again right from the help menu. So if you sit down at a computer and you want to quickly set up certain things as a user, for your user settings, you can just jump to the help menu and choose the wizard and run through the wizard and set them up. So you'll have one place to do it all. I think that's going to be a great breakthrough, and trainers are going to love it. The beta testers that we have, the team that works on JAWS, have been giving us all kinds of feedback. They love it, and they're all their own favorite setting that they want to make sure we put in there. So we'll get a lot of things in, and that'll grow as we get updates out.
Now, you mentioned something interesting, and I thought I'd bring it up here because it sort of relates to, you know, configuring JAWS when you initially get it loaded. And that is that it appears as though, and maybe this is a bug, and if it is, then, but I don't think it is. The keystroke to raise the rate of the voice has changed. Or it's not changed, but the behavior has changed.
And, yeah, I'm glad you brought it up.
And it kind of caught me off guard. Well, you know, because I got the release yesterday evening, and so at 11:30 at night, you know, after doing a show on interactive and things, you know, I wasn't really half awake anyway, and I'm going, wait a minute, what's going on? I'm hitting page down, and it's going slower, and this isn't right, and so, you know, I unloaded 8 and reloaded 7, and I'm like, yeah, that's different, and so I thought, well, we'll have to ask Eric about this. It appears as though the keystroke is now reversed, meaning that page down now slows down the voice and page up it now increases it. And I guess it sort of makes some sense if you think about it from the standpoint of say all.
Yeah, we wanted to do a couple of things here. One is we wanted to make sure that it kind of PacMate JAWS for Windows on a desktop should use the similar keystrokes, and that is the way a PacMate does it. Page up would speed it up, page down would slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing to realize here is that the speech rate is a left-right slider. It's not an up-and-down slider. If you go in to the volume control dialog box under Programs, Accessories, Entertainment, you will find a left-right slider in there, and you'll see that page up moves the slider to the right, right arrow moves the slider to the right, page down and left arrow move the slider to the left. And so that is those keystrokes now do the same thing on the JAWS left-right slider.
One of the new features is the JAWS Find Dialog has been enhanced. Can you talk to us about what you've included here?
Yeah, we've had requests over the years from users to be able to have a history. There are many things that they want to find, and they don't want to have to continue to type in the same things over and over again. So we now retain the last, I think it's 20 items that you've searched for in a list, and when you pop up the JAWS Find, you can first letter navigate to that phrase that you were searching for, and select it, press enter, and it'll go get it. So you don't have to continue to type things in all the time. And we've got a lot of users out there that are searching on web pages for certain pieces of information, and there's a variety of things they're looking for. So I think the overall response from the beta testers that have been looking for this feature has been great. They love it.
Now, I've also noticed when looking at the What's New that the Daisy Reader that is shipping with JAWS for Windows version 8, the demo version of it, has changed. Can you talk to us about what the improvements are to the Daisy Reader?
Yeah, now, the improvements have been in how JAWS lets you interact with the Daisy Reader. And as I talk with tech support people and customers and trainers, one of the things that became obvious about our solution was we have a software Daisy player that would replace someone using a cassette tape player with cassettes. But with a cassette tape player, what was nice is you could be listening to a section of the basic training and you could be in an application. So you could be trying to do something in the JAWS user interface, or you could be trying to do something on Internet Explorer and pause the tape, try it in the application, and then push the start button to play it again. And not having to alt-tab back and forth between two different application windows, which can be very confusing for someone new getting started that needs that needs the basic training material, the last thing you want is to have them alt-tab back and forth. So what we've done is if FS Reader demo is playing, if you're listening to our DAISY training material, whatever application you're in, you can always start and stop the recording of the DAISY material with a control P. That'll always work. It'll pause it or play it. And control period and control comma will give you the ability to rewind or fast forward. So you don't have to switch back to the UI of the DAISY player itself. You just stay right in your application and use those keystrokes. Of course, the first obvious question is if I'm in an application that can print, doesn't control P print? And it will, unless the FS Reader is playing. In that case, you would have to either go and shut down FS Reader if you needed to print the page, or you could do a key pass-through to print, or you could go to the File menu generally in that application window and choose Print from there. So we did take the behavior away, but Control-P is such a normal keystroke for pause and play, I felt it was worth breaking the rule in this case because of the fact that users who are getting started that need this DAISY player to get through the basic training material, Control-P is the natural one that we want them to know, whether they're in our application or whether they're in someone else's application. So this is going to be great. Our support team is really excited because they know that as they're talking to customers on the phone, that the alt-tabbing between the two could be very confusing. So this is a good breakthrough, I think.
Now, you've had the settings packager in earlier versions of JAWS for Windows, and this allowed people to exchange scripts and settings and things. And there seems to be a new feature, and it's called Manage Application Settings. I was wondering if you might be able to talk to us about what is this new feature, how does it work, and what is its intent?
Sure, this was something that was actually developed and released first in the Magic Magnification product, the companion to JAWS, kind of. These two products are really starting to share more and more technology. The speech components in Magic now come directly from JAWS. It's actually a part of JAWS installed with it. So Magic had this great feature, and we decided this makes sense for JAWS, and our support team really loved this idea as well. The notion is that if a user has something installed, let's say they run an application and they go into the configuration manager and they make a bunch of changes and they go in and they start writing some scripts, and all of a sudden they've got their application in a state where things aren't behaving the way they expect, and they're not sure what's going wrong, and they're not sure if it's them or there's something wrong in JAWS or is there something wrong with the application or what happened. Well, you can now go right into the Options menu and choose Manage Application Settings, and you'll find any application that the user has made adjustments for. And you can uncheck it and say, don't use those settings. And then when you go back to the application, it just falls through and uses our default settings that were installed out of the box for that particular application. So you can kind of rule out what went wrong here. So I think users, power users especially, will use it to turn off their changes that they've made without having to go in and remove files or change file names. And support people will use it to try and debug something with a user over the phone. So this is a really easy way to go in there without having to delete their stuff and just turn it off for a minute and see if that fixes it. And you can choose to delete those settings right from there as well. So if you had something that you had set up and you don't like the way it works, you can just delete the files right from the Manage Application Settings choice.
Now, with any new major release, we always want to find out what's new with the productivity software that we use. And so that brings us to Microsoft Office. And we'd like to find out what kind of changes might have occurred here. So let's start with Microsoft Word.
Well, you know, we have people working on the Office applications full-time, and they probably get more attention from our beta group than any other applications that we work with, maybe with the exception of IE. So Word and Excel continue to get features and improvements. Microsoft Word, and again, we'll mention a few things here, but I encourage people to really get a hold of the write-up when it comes out on the web and go to the section on Word, because you'll see a lot of new features and you'll see a lot of fixes as well. But just a few things to mention: the ability to detect footnotes and endnotes and comments during a say-all, and I'll let you know that they're there. This was a big request from a lot of customers. Recognizing these special characters, soft hyphens and non-breaking hyphens and non-breaking spaces, and knowing the difference as you arrow across them is now in there. Style change detection can be set up in the verbosity dialog box now for Microsoft Word. Just a tremendous amount of fixes. I think, you know, that's the best advice I can give, is to go in and read as many of those as possible. I'm sure there's a few things that you use in Word and that you might demonstrate. In Excel, I think one of the nicest breakthroughs has been this color detection. And I sent something over to you earlier. I hope you have an opportunity to give it a try, and you may want to try and explain this to the users if you can demonstrate it on main menu. But let me describe the spreadsheet that I sent you. Basically, it was a kind of like a little time schedule for an inside group of salespeople to say who's on duty when, who's making inbound calls versus outbound calls, who's on break, who's on lunch. And this is a really easy spreadsheet, if you look at it, to know who's got what going on, because it's all based on colors. And because JAWS can detect these colors, you can go into the verbosity dialog and turn on shading detection. And then what I did is I just set up some dictionary rules. So instead of saying this color, say they're on lunch. Instead of saying this color, say it's the outbound, you're on outbound calls at this time. So as you move around on the spreadsheet, when it hits a new color, it automatically tells you, you know, what change just occurred, whether you're on calls now or on break and so forth. And this is all about being able to talk to that document object model and then take that information and be able to do things with it through the JAWS interface of verbosity settings and dictionary rules and putting different things together. So Excel has been a great place to work for many years with JAWS for Windows, and it just keeps getting better all the time.
And what about Microsoft Outlook? Many of us spend a great deal of time in Outlook, yeah, reading our email, and sometimes we spend more of our time there than we do in other applications, it seems.
Most of us are in that.
Unfortunately. So what's improved here?
Well, we've made lots of little improvements. I think users will see all over the place. And, of course, the new, I think one of the greatest improvements in Outlook is this new Sappy 5 during sale. You can open up an email message and do a sale and have a nice voice read the message to you. That's probably the first thing you'll notice. But one of the areas that we had to put effort and time into that has been widely requested by users all around the world has been the ability to deal with shared calendars. So people who have jobs out there, there are many organizations that are using shared calendars so that you can view someone else's calendar and find out what their schedule is like. And in the release of 8, we've made breakthroughs to be able to actually deal with these shared calendars, and that's been an awful lot of work. And the reality is that Outlook is one of those applications where the MSAA implementation has been less than stellar. Getting information out of the MSAA feedback has always been a struggle. So we're trying to balance between MSAA and between doing true screen reading, where we actually have to look at the screen and determine what's probably going on. And that's always difficult on an application like Outlook, because it's very complex and there are a lot of things that can be changing on the screen or in the view, depending on what view the person uses. So we've done, I think, a great job with Outlook to this point. I think our users, especially those that are messing with calendars and shared calendars, are going to find this to be a big breakthrough.
Now, what about Microsoft Access and OneNote? Has anything gone on with either of these applications?
nothing for OneNote other than we've had some conversations. We actually did have a conversation with the OneNote people up at Microsoft, and I think that as OneNote becomes more and more popular, there will be some opportunities to begin to use it more with today's access technology. As I understand it, it's really something that might be used on tablet PCs to keep track of things.
Yeah, that's right. I was just kind of curious because it seems to be something that's at least talked about sometimes on the JAWS list as being like a really fancy notepad kind of application.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's something that's being used more and more by students in schools. So we haven't done a lot with it ourselves yet, but there have been some early conversations with people at Microsoft, and I think that'll be something to continue to watch for the future. As for Access, we've continued to make fixes for Access. You'll find in our write-up under the fixes section for Access, you'll see several things mentioned in there. This is an area that we have an awful lot of users out there trying to do their job. So over the course of 7.0, 7.1, and now in 8, we've continued to make great strides there, and Access is getting better all the time. PowerPoint, we haven't made too many changes in this release. PowerPoint works really well with JAWS and has for a number of years now, and I think we've made fixes where problems have been reported. I think there's a much more limited number of users out there who are trying to do anything other than read a PowerPoint presentation. In other words, how many users are out there actually creating PowerPoint presentations compared to how many people are trying to use Word, Excel, and Outlook? It's a much smaller number, so we hear from a lot less number of customers about it. But PowerPoint's working pretty good. Office 2007, we have not cracked the PowerPoint and Access issues at this point, but I think by the time Office 2007 gets out there, we'll be making some progress, and you'll see those in updates.
I'd like to move now to some of the more advanced features that some people might be utilizing for doing scripting as well as some development-type tasks. And I don't want to spend a lot of time here because it probably only represents a pretty small portion of the people who are listening here on Main Menu this week. One of the main things I wanted to find out, though, was has further support been enhanced for .NET applications that are developed within Visual Studio .NET?
Yeah, this is an area that you know, our CTO and several of the developers are very keen to continue to work on as they're using these development tools. And .NET has gotten much better over the last couple of years, and we continue to make improvements in that area. I think that you'll see continued improvement going forward, and we are watching the various listservs where a lot of the developers are out there talking about stuff, and we're interacting with several of them now to try and get some good examples of areas that they're struggling with to see if we can help to overcome that. I know there are some users out there, some very talented users out there, who are creating some tutorials for some of the different development tools right now. So I think more and more will come about this year in this area, and this really is, while it is a small segment of the user base, it's a very important segment because programming has always been a great opportunity for screen reader users to get employment. So
yeah,
making
I think
sure these tools continue is really right in line where we want to be.
Right. I think one of the main things, though, that's of major concern is the controls that are used in these programming environments being accessible once applications are developed, meaning that let's say that Microsoft starts to develop using Visual Studio .NET and they compile the applications. I think that's sort of where I was actually kind of headed with this, not necessarily the actual development environment.
Okay.
So I was just wondering if that was something that was being looked at or being addressed, you know, so that these controls would be recognized and provide better support going forward.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, the reality is if the application doesn't get created as an accessible application, and if it isn't something that the screen reader can get its hands around, the applications are, that's the most vocal group that we'll hear from when it doesn't work. So, yes, we are absolutely looking at trying to ensure that the development tools that create these controls that are used in these applications will be accessible and something that you can interact with the screen reader going forward. So that's clearly an area to continue focus on.
Now, we've talked a lot about fixes throughout our interview today, and I was just wondering if you might have some ideas about some of the major fixes that we might see. We've talked a lot about enhancements and new functionality. Can you tell us some of the new, or not necessarily new, but some of the major fixes that we'll see in version 8.0?
Yeah, well, again, there's going to be, the write-up will have them all, but I think what I'll do is I'd like to describe two of the biggest fixes, I think, or the most important fixes that we've been able to get done. First, there is a problem that's been around for a number of years, and it's been very difficult for us to get our hands on because it's hard to reproduce, it's been hard to understand. The symptoms, for somebody who's listening to this that's been using JAWS for a while, as I describe this, you'll say, oh, I know this one. I've had this problem. And really, what happens is you'll be going along typing. You might be in Word. You might be in Outlook doing a forward or reply. And you've typed something, and you know that you didn't miss the character. But when you go back and read it, there seems to be a character missing out of one of your words. And in some cases, as you're arrowing through a document, you know that there was a line of text there. You read it once, but when you go back, it's blank. The line is gone, or part of the line has disappeared. And a screen refresh brings it back. So this problem was related to the mouse pointer being in the shape of an I-beam, and that means when you're in an edit control, the mouse turns from a pointer to an I-beam. And depending on how that I-beam was positioned on the line, if it got just in the right position on a particular location on a horizontal plane on your window, as text went across it or as you type text through that area, it could get obliterated to the OSM. And it only happened on certain video or certain video chipsets. We managed to get a hold of a Dell computer this year, and it demonstrated the problem perfectly, and we were able to analyze it and figure out what was going on, and we've come up with a fix. And that fix will actually be rolled out and made available through the FS Video Intercept EXE that anyone can go out and download and update their vid. So even if you still got an older version of JAWS 6.2 or something and you don't get 8, you'll be able to download that as a free fix for your earlier version if you were experiencing the problem. So I know that there are enough people out there that listening to this will say, yep, that's a problem. I've got that one or I've seen it. For those of you who have had it, it became very annoying, and it was a difficult one to get around. But we did just recently get that one solved, actually. One of the other issues that I know has been talked about and reported, and it was difficult to pin down, and we finally figured out how to reproduce it, people would experience a case where all of a sudden JAWS wouldn't output anymore. You didn't hear anything. It was like your sound card got blocked. And as you would try other things like narrator or something, you couldn't get any system sounds, you couldn't get anything to come out of it. And it seemed like the only solution to this was to reboot the computer. And just as the computer was shutting off, you would hear the sound come back and start talking. This problem was related not so much to something crashing, but Windows Explorer hanging. And it was a problem, and we're just now finishing up that solution. I'm sure we finally got to the bottom of what was going on, and that'll be in 8, and we'll do everything we have to make sure that a fix is available for someone with an earlier version, at least back to 7.1. So if you weren't getting eight and you still wanted to get that fixed, we'll get that available to you as soon as we can. Those are two of the, I think, probably two of the nastiest problems that we've had out there. And they've been there for a while. And, boy, I'll tell you, some of these difficult bugs like this, the real trick is to isolate what's going on and how to reproduce them. And these are two that we finally, I think, cracked the egg on.
Eric, we'd like to sincerely thank you for coming on to Main Menu this week. Are there any other features or anything else you'd like to talk to us about in conclusion about JAWS for Windows version 8.0?
One other feature I just want to mention, again, this is a usability type feature. We've added to the help menu a choice called Web Resources, and users should watch this, but once you've installed 8, you'll find in there the ability to get right to the tech support page where you can now do a search, and we've switched over to the Google engine to use for searching in our database of issues, technical support notices, and frequently asked questions. And we put these web resources right in the help menu, so you can get to the tech support area, you can get to the JAWS headquarters, you can get to the HTML challenge where you can go out and practice and learn all about using JAWS on the web. And we'll continue to add to those in the future. I think there's a, this is all about just trying to get people to a place where they can learn more information. And when we added the FS reader in there, the DAISY training material, that was part of this. And getting people onto the JAWS headquarters where there's all kinds of new resources, where you can go out and find out about the group of people creating scripts for Skype. Skype works beautiful out of the box, this program that you and I are going back and forth with. But there's a whole set of users out there that have created these nifty scripts that just really make the program work even better. And we're putting links to these places where our users can go and find out and learn more information. So make sure you check out the web resources once you get it installed. And, you know, Jeff, I really want to thank you, thank Main Menu. You guys do a great job at helping to get the communication out and show users what's coming. We're excited about IE7. We're really excited about JAWS 8 and the new synthesizer and hearing from our customers once they get a chance to see how it sounds and give it a try themselves. So we look forward to being back here on Main Menu with you real soon. Probably the next time we'll be looking at Vista.
That's right. Okay. And just so that everyone is aware as we end here, where can people find out more information and when might we expect to see some information up on the website?
Well, you can always keep track of us through www.freedomscientific.com. There is a section right on our home page there where we talk about software related issues, and when I post the what's new, both the recording where we demonstrate it and the text explaining the features and the fixes, there'll be links right there on the home page, and I would keep an eye on that and expect to see something towards the second half of October.
Okay.
This year,
okay. Good. One thing that people may want to know is Freedom Scientific looking at adding RSS feeds to your site so that they can get updates more readily?
Well, we haven't done that yet, but it sounds like something that we probably be looking at. I think more and more people, especially now IE7 coming out, will start taking advantage of RSS feeds and getting more acquainted with them. So. Yeah, I think this is something that would be great to add.
All right, great. Well, again, thank you, Eric. We really enjoyed talking with you today, and we'll be in touch soon when we get more information on Windows Vista.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.